A comment that was made earlier was that if we have a common enemy, that it does lead us to peace, to work together. But I also like to add that if we have a common object, that draws us together. Like in this very verse, what Steve was in verse 21, it is through Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and so on. So this is very, very basic, that if we all are focused on Christ, He draws us together, no matter who you are. Look at Revelation chapter 5. That's our future. That no matter who we are, where we come from, what language we speak, we have one common object, and He draws us together.
If you look at the tribes, if you look at the tribes of Israel, what was at the center of all the tribes?
Yeah.
The tabernacle, right?
Yeah.
They were all centered around the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. The tabernacle speaks of Christ. Mm-hmm. Everything in the tabernacle speaks of Christ. They were all gathered around that which would speak of Christ. Mm-hmm. That was their object, right? It wasn't, well, I'm from the tribe of Dan, or I'm from the tribe of whatever. Christ, right in the center.
And that's the ultimate future, that He will be in our midst.
Mm-hmm. In Revelation 5.
Revelation 5.
Yeah. What else? Any other thoughts there? Okay, well, I'd like to move to the next aspect then, which is this idea we had in 1 Thessalonians 5:13, be at peace among yourselves, which it might seem as only a little semantic difference, but go to Mark chapter 9. It's really much more than a semantic difference. The God of peace does His work. And He also gives us this command. Command. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it's a command. Be at peace among yourselves. Mark chapter 9, verse 50, the Lord Jesus says, "Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it?" We have this reference to salt and salt losing its flavor in other gospels, but this next phrase is unique to Mark. Have salt in yourselves. Be salty. And have peace with one another. So, the Lord Jesus, for example, Matthew 5, He says, "You're the salt of the earth." Right? That's an outward testimony. This is a unique expression. Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. So let's have some thoughts here on what that means and how we might connect that with 1 Thessalonians 5. But first, Sam's touching my elbow.
Comment. I think this generation uses that phrase, being salty, in a different way than we understand it. From what I can gather.
Not in middle school, they don't.
It's not in middle school.
Okay, if you thought it meant something different, scratch that. I won't ask you what I thought it meant. Maybe that's... All right. You can get that off the tape there. So, have salt in yourselves, the text says. It's always safe to stick to the text. And have peace with one another. So, what does that mean? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. And how would we relate that to 1 Thessalonians 5, possibly? Thoughts.
Maybe just to help you in your thought process, what does salt do? What does salt do?
I was just going to bring that up. The two aspects of salt would be the flavor, mm-hmm. would be the first, and then it preserves the food, mm-hmm. would be the second. So specifically when he's saying that you were to... as we commonly hear that you are the salt of the earth, we are to be flavorful to those around us in the sense that we are attractive and the gospel that we carry is attractive to them, that we don't turn them off to the message. But then also it is to preserve, specifically having salt in ourself, it preserves the relationships that we build And it also preserves the integrity of the message that we carry. And then I think that there's another verse that we can tie into this in Romans chapter 12.
Good.
In verse 18. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. It says, if possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. So I think this puts the responsibility right upon our own shoulders, that regardless of what another person might do, it is our responsibility to have that salty effect upon the relationships and upon the character and upon the message that we bear.
I would like to add a little more to that, because I think that's very helpful, and the reference in Romans 12 is very helpful. I want to emphasize the first phrase of Mark 9:50, though, a little bit from a little different perspective too, and add this in to what was said. In this passage, it emphasizes that the salt is supposed to be in me. And in Bible times, although salt certainly is a flavoring agent, I think really it's much more important as a preservative. And so when we think about it, it's not just flavoring ourselves, but especially the preservative effect in us. The salt is not for others in this verse. It is in Matthew 5. But in this verse, it's the salt is in us. And I think even, you know, we often mention Colossians 4. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. What does that mean? Sometimes it's explained as if it means, you know, be very gracious and just sort of sprinkle a little truth in, right? Season it with salt. Just throw in a little nugget of truth while you're gracious with everyone. And I don't really think that's what it means, because did the Lord Jesus sort of like, he was very friendly and then just every once in a while he'd catch you off guard with a little bit of truth before you saw it coming? I don't think it means that. I think it means let your speech always be with grace. Sprinkle your speech with salt. The salt is for the way you talk, the way I talk. My speech, my style of talking to others has to be salted so that I preserve my own speech. I don't want all these decaying aspects of conversation to come in. I think here too, it's this. It's that we have salt in ourselves, and this is from the responsibility side. I see it similar to 1 Thessalonians 5 in this way, where it's a command, be at peace. How can we have peace with one another? It won't happen unless we have salt in ourselves. We are so aware, self-aware of the ease with which we decay in our natural condition. So that if we're going to have peace with one another, and this, by the way, is the first one another of the New Testament. We always think love one another, right? There's a whole lot of those. But this is the first one another of the New Testament. You know, in the order of the books of the Bible. And it starts with this idea of preserving, self-preservation. That's not what we usually mean by that. But what I mean is that we have the effects of salt so that we don't give in to the effects of decay from our natural being. And only then, when there is self-control by the Spirit of God, can we even consider having peace with one another. But it is our responsibility. We have the God of peace. We have the Lord of peace, who may he give us peace always. How does he do that? He does that when we have salt in ourselves. That is, I don't get upset too fast at your differences. I have patience instead of impatience. I have compassion instead of frustration. I have the characteristics of the new creation instead of the characteristics of the old self. That's salt in me. And then there's peace with one another, or there can be.